For starters, maybe just because we talked a little bit about waxing yesterday, can you just talk about, you know, the weather of the day? You know, it looked as if there was some fresh snow, and just how you approached that and what the conditions were like for waxing. And yeah, we'll start with the women's race.
Yeah, sure. It was a little bit of an interesting day because it had snowed about an inch overnight, and they had finished grooming around 6 p.m. So the tracks were firm, but they had that windblown inch in them, and they successfully took, I think, some sort of leaf blower around all four tracks, around both loops, and it was really nice skiing when we arrived. So it wasn't incredibly easy kicking, but it was kind of feel-good classic skiing. The hills here are not so steep, and I think that's what made the waxing a little bit easier today. They're just sort of 5 minutes of sustained gradual, you know, big striding. But it was it's just a matter of getting enough kick so that you're not blowing up at altitude, and not so much kick that your skis are slower on what is quite a long gradual downhill. But it's a mass start, so you can get away with some larger glide discrepancies.
Yeah, maybe for people who are new to watching this, what do you mean by that, and how does that play out when you have like glide discrepancies?
Yeah, well, just as soon as I say that, I disagree with myself, because you can hang with the pack, but because the finish is actually pretty much a long downhill into a 180 corner and then a gradual uphill 100 meter drag, you need fast skis in order to win this race. And that is what we had today, at least for the women's race. And Jesse and Rosie, I think, were on some great boards and had the tools they needed, and they were also skiing great. So it was a nice match.
So I'm curious, you know, this was, I think this was the first mass start race of the year. The second stage of an 8-stage series of races. And I think just on paper, looking at it, it's like, okay, well, Frieda Carlson is going to make a move, and, you know, she could potentially blow this apart. And going off a very small sample size of, say, you know, the 30K Classic last year in Oslo, which was the last race of the year, which she won. Just curious maybe what the strategy was, or thinking about this going into the race. And again, you're talking about two veterans in Diggins and Brennan. You probably don't need to talk about much strategy, but, you know, not necessarily matching stride for stride and maybe letting someone go a little bit so that at the end of the race, you have some firepower to close.
Yeah, that's a good question and maybe a disappointing answer. I think when you tend to go through all the what ifs, like if this woman goes, you have to do this. I think running through all those scenarios the night before the race, just with the athletes, ends up chancing more stress. And, you know, the way to learn best is to really make sure that these athletes are coming up with their own what ifs, and they're able to respond and adapt in the moment. And I think that's something with veterans that's easier to do. And Rosie and Jesse both know what it takes to win a race like today, but also an event like the Tour de Ski. So that means, you know, you can't blow up on the first couple laps, because if you blow up and bleed a minute, the Tour win is out of reach, or it will be for several stages at least. And so I think they skied appropriately aggressively, particularly on that second lap where there's a bonus sprint and the pace can accelerate. That's an area that can be problematic for some, because we're at about 5,700 feet at the race site. It's an easy place to pop and just be done for the rest of the race. And so I was really proud that they both had gas, particularly on the fourth lap. And Jesse actually seemed to have gas all four laps. So,
you know, just as someone who's observed, you know, Jesse kind of come up through the system, but also I know that, you know, primarily, you know, she works with Jason Cork, but you obviously have a front seat view. You're based in Vermont during most of the off season, as she is. And I think there was a time when, you know, probably a year and a half ago, where she would admittedly be like, yeah, I'm working on my classic skiing. And I know, and I think it was last year, you know, where, you know, she started to see some just very steady improvement and consistent skiing in classic. But what were you seeing in terms of her classic skiing that just made you understand there was a lot of snap there?
Yeah, the fact that she was able to ski big and with quite a bit of power, even up at the top of the course. So I was down at about 300 yards into the race, but you can see all the way to the top of this moraine. And it was really cool as she turns and kind of is skiing perpendicular to the direction we're facing. You could just see she was skiing huge and not this kind of compact drill looking stride. It was really open and free, and there was power there.
Okay. You also, I mean, let me pull up my my live timing here, or my, you know, can you give me 10 seconds here?
Yeah, of
course. We also had, you know, a couple of Catherine Ogden popping into the top 30, and Haley Swerbel, you know, skiing quite strongly today. Yeah, so maybe talk a little bit about collectively about what you're seeing from those two athletes.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because it's really easy to fall into the shadows when you have a couple athletes that are, you know, threatening for podiums each day. But for Haley to be 17th and Catherine 23rd, I believe, you know, those are two of our really big successes of the day. I know Catherine felt like she got worked in the start, and the seating is a little bit funny because it, you know, it awards sprinters from the day before. Before going to distance points. And, you know, as kind of a newer World Cup skier, she is neither a sprinter nor someone with really low distance points. So I think she was starting bib 66 or 43. Okay. And so that's tough. You get pushed around a little bit. You miss some rides, and it did look like she had the energy if were she to be able to go on the first lap. She could have had, you know, been even further up, but you know, that's just a part of the process. No excuses. You can always go around people if you really have the snap, but it was so cool today to see Catherine moving up on laps 2, 3, and 4. That was one of the fun moments of the race to watch.
Okay. And just from I'm curious, as someone again, who's been on the scene for a long time, and it is a mass start race, and you know, things perhaps look different in a mass start race than an individual start race, where pacing becomes, you know, a little more critical in terms of pushing your limits. There's no, well, for the most part, less drafting. So we have today, we have Lynn Svahn, who is still a U23 skier. We think of her as coming onto the scene last year and just nailing these sprints. She won yesterday's sprint. You know, here she is today taking, you know, a mass start win. Just curious, just what you're seeing from the Swedish women, in particular Svahn.
Yeah, well, it's great to have them back for starters. And as I've said here before, none of us really criticize them for not being comfortable coming to Davos or Dresden, but it is really cool to have them back. Just makes it feel like more of a world stage event. And we knew with the pack breaking up into six women, which included Jesse Rosie, Katrina Hennig, Lynn Svahn, and let's see, Stupak. And somehow Nepraeva was not in that today. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, that was notable to me as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice when that happened. But yeah, we knew this was going to be a tough one. And if Jesse was there, she can be one of the people that can be favored to at least vie for a podium spot. Beating Svahn, if she's right there, is going to be pretty tough. And Stupak has been really strong in the finishes since coming back from a year of after having a baby, actually. She was Belorukova the last time we saw her. And so really cool to see both of them skiing really fast. It's exciting when, frankly, it was one of the most exciting women's races for mass starts in a long time.
I'm kind of curious, as you sort of run through your strategies, or I'm not even sure, to be frank, it's not like you're scheming for a football game, where I'm imagining, again, I know nothing about football, but I'm imagining that can be a fairly complex playbook depending on who's playing each respective position and whatever. But that said, you have, you know, there's two athletes here, Americans, that are doing quite well. Rosie Brennan and Jesse Diggins. You know, Jesse has been in this position before. She's in fact, you know, been leader of the Tour de Ski. What do you think about, you know, moving forward? You know, you've got six stages left. I'm sure you don't want to get ahead of yourself. Yeah, what do you strategize, or do you strategize about how things may or may not play out and thinking about each respective stage moving forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. I tend to be one of the last coaches who looks at the results after a race. I probably look at the results for the first time right before talking with you, just so I act like I know what I'm talking about. But I think the real answer for tour success is to make sure that the process is simple and efficient every day. And things like there are snacks in each van, there are sandwiches in case someone gets pulled for anti-doping after the race and has to go a couple hours waiting in the anti-doping office. There can't be bonks. People can't be chilled because they don't have enough clothes. It's tough with COVID. We're not going indoors. So the sprint day was really challenging to stay warm. And so we had the van set up as little rooms. And fortunately with Swix and LL Bean, we have tons of down and really warm layers. But the trick for us is to not strategize too much about the actual performances in the race, but just get the athletes to the starting line happy and feeling prepared. And it's very fun when you have a couple athletes that are, within seconds of the tour lead. And it's very important at the same time to make sure that everybody is feeling that energy so that it turns into synergy, so that meals are productive places to be at. And they're relaxing environments with a lot of light, laughter. And right now we really have that. It's been great. The men's team has operated better than I've ever seen it operate in my 14 or so years with the team. And so the environment is just working right now. And that's the best thing that we can do to race fast.